Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to head inside the film room and break down the tape. The FantasyGuru.com weekly matchup podcast is on. Here's John Hansen and Greg Cosell.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Welcome to the Week 12 FantasyGuru.com matchup podcast. I'm John Hansen. We are recording this week's podcast a little early, so not as much information as we normally have. I personally have not wrapped my head around all the injuries that are still coming in here as we record this on Wednesday evening, but we do have the holiday upon us, so we'll get right to it here with our man, Greg Cosell. Greg, happy Thanksgiving. How are you?
John, same to you. Same to you. These tight weeks, you know, getting the matchup show ready are a little intense, but, you know, we'll get a television program on the air.
There you go. Well, you know, to make you feel better, I was up till 5:20 this morning working on projections. So it's we're getting a lot
wow.
in a short week. That's right. That's right. I'm on 2 hours of sleep, Greg. Two.
That's usually about the time I'm getting, you know, I'm getting into work, John.
I know. I know. I should think of you. I should text you. Good morning, Greg. I'm going to bed. Yeah,
that's right. I'll be awake.
Yeah, yep. Well, you know what? The trade-off for me, and I don't know about you, is I'll be working tomorrow a little bit, but, you know, it's kind of like a bye week for me. I'll be able to hang out, watch some football tomorrow, and I'm sure that's you're going to be doing that, right, Greg?
Yeah, I'll be watching some football. You know, three good games.
And the Eagles will start it there, and they're in Detroit. So I guess you'd be maybe even working today if that was a home game. But or are you? Are you working
I am.
For the Eagles?
I am.
Okay. So it doesn't matter where the location is. You're working for
it
the Eagles
It does not.
Website. All right. Well, I know you saw the Eagle offense, and you also saw the Lions defense. So I feel like you should have a pretty good handle on
I
this.
I do.
And certainly we know what the Eagles do. Even Sam Bradford said it yesterday, I believe, when talking to a reporter that they basically do the same thing every week. So they're gonna try and run off a bunch of plays, run the ball. Detroit's defense playing well. Your thoughts on, let's say it's Mark Sanchez. It sure seems like it's trending that way. That matchup against a Lions defense that's really playing well. I saw your note that the Eagles – receivers struggle with man, and I'm sure Detroit can do that. So is this a problematic matchup for when they look to throw the ball? I know Ziggy Ansah can rush the passer.
Yeah, the issue for fantasy, John, and you know this, when you're talking about the Eagles, is they're not a matchup offense. So you can't look, for instance, and say, hey, Jordan Matthews is 6'2", and Quandre Diggs is 5'9", in the slot, so that's a matchup that favors the Eagles, because the Eagles don't play that way.
Yeah.
And that makes it very, very difficult, because you would assume that that's a place where they should throw the football. But the Eagles don't automatically do those kinds of things. They're more of a concept offense. They do the same thing every week in terms of their routes and their concepts, and they don't play matchup football.
Now, you don't think there's a chance that Darius Slay works on Matthews in terms of him typically, I guess, on the outside, but
no.
I guess there's – no, you don't think so?
I would be very surprised. I don't recall seeing him play in the slot this year. Is it possible he's played there on some snaps? Sure it is. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I've seen every single snap of the Lions defense, but I don't really see him playing in the slot.
Okay, well, that's good news for Matthews, because I was thinking today, actually, this morning, that maybe they just
probably at 5:20.
Yeah, that maybe they just move him to the best receiver, but it doesn't sound like that's the case. So there you go. So if you're listening to this and you're wondering, not that we can use Jordan Matthews anyway, Greg, because he's not been very effective.
No.
And this receiving core is just, I mean, it's a nightmare for fantasy. No Ertz. So do you have any thoughts on how Brent Celek will be utilized? Will he stick in the same role with the kid Trey Burton, or will he be used more in the passing game?
You know, he could be used in the pass game, but again, it doesn't mean they'll throw him the ball. I mean, a few weeks ago, he had that big catch on the first play of the game, and he had big numbers, which is wonderful for fantasy. But like I said, to me, they're not a matchup offense. They don't throw it to one guy. They don't look at a matchup on the defensive side and say, hey, let's attack that corner or that safety or that linebacker. That's really not the way the Eagles play offense. So it's I know it may not help, but it's over the course of watching Chip Kelly's offense, certainly this year, but I think it's been true all along, is that's not really the way they play.
Big picture, do you see this as a tougher matchup for this mediocre receiving core and this mediocre quarterback throwing it?
Yeah, I do, because I think the D-line is really good. They've got a lot of length. They've got a lot of athleticism. I think they're going to put pressure on Sanchez. I mean, when they're in their nickel D-line, they've got big people out there who are athletic.
Yeah, and I know you saw the Lion offense as well, and I'm sure you're familiar with the Eagle defense in terms of how they're playing right now. Philly's still pretty good against the run. We all know what happened last week. They gave up a lot of production. Ebron dropped a touchdown. He's not healthy. But overall, I know you had some positive impressions of Amir Abdullah, who could have scored twice. What are your impressions of this Lion offense? It's, to me, it's not that bad. It seems to be hanging in there.
No, I thought this past week it looked pretty controlled and relatively efficient. I thought even though the numbers might not have been great for fantasy, I thought they ran the ball clearly better than they had. I really love the way they use Theo Riddick. I think they have two receivers. See, they line up both Abdullah and Riddick outside at times, and they create matchups. And, in fact, he should have thrown a touchdown to Abdullah. He just overthrew him when he ran by Ben Heaney on the outside. That's the matchup they created. I'm sure that was one of the plays you were referencing.
100%. Full extension, right? He dove full extension on the left side. Yep.
But I think their offense looked, pretty good last week. I thought Stafford was as controlled as he's been all season in terms of just, throwing the throws that were there. And that's always been an issue for him because he's such a power thrower and can make ridiculous throws, and actually made a ridiculous throw at one point. I think it was to Calvin. It might have been late in the first half. It was one of those Stafford throws that was just absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, it was Johnson 36 yards near the end of the first half. I mean, that was a ridiculous throw. But I thought for the most part he was under control. And their offense, even though they didn't score a lot of points, I thought in many ways it was a step forward because you have to take incremental steps.
Yeah. And the concern is, the Philly run defense is pretty good. And I saw a stat this week that, when the Lions run it with like 20 or more times, they're like 4-0 this year. So I'm sure Philly is going to pay close attention to the running game here and shut that down. What do you think of the matchup when Stafford does throw it here? Philly pass rush, not dominant. Obviously the secondary struggled last week. I see success here for Detroit, quite frankly. What are your thoughts?
Well, yes and no, because I also think that the tackles for the Lions can be beaten, and particularly with speed to power rushes. So that was a little bit of a concern that I had, and I've seen the Lions in the last number of weeks a couple of times, and I think their tackles can be beaten. So that would be just a concern that I would have.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's going to throw for 350, but I can see a 250, two touchdown game here. Certainly we'll have some drives where, they go three and out and not going to just move it up and down the field. Let's move on to Carolina at Dallas. Let's start on the Cowboys side of the ball here. And I know you saw Romo, uneven performance as expected, but did you notice anything in particular? Like, wow, this is so much better now with Romo. Maybe
McFadden,
his running
of
game. What were the takeaways there?
Well, Romo is just a professional quarterback. The difference with quarterbacks is not necessarily the spectacular plays, although those are differences, obviously, but it's the routine. The lesser quarterbacks, they don't make the routine plays. And I'm watching the game on tape, and it's just, Romo, when there's a guy open, he hits him. Now, he missed a few throws early, which I think clearly were a function of him, being rusty, but he hits the throws that are there. And then just the recognition and the understanding, because the Bryant touchdown, Bryant was double-teamed. The scheme double-teamed Bryant, and a lot of quarterbacks would have just come off that, but I think Tony understood that Bryant's route was going to beat the double-team, and so he stayed with him and he threw him the ball. So Bryant gets a touchdown, and the touchdown to Williams was a big-time throw.
Did it look like it gave some relief to McFadden? Just having Romo there.
Well, that's always hard to say. I mean, you know, McFadden ran well. He had his two long runs on the exact same play. I'd be surprised if he put up big numbers running the ball against Carolina. That would surprise me.
Now, everyone is all over the Dez Bryant-Josh Norman matchup. I mean, my question is, Charles Tillman is not going to play. We know these safeties can be had. I guess as Josh Norman's on Dez, does he get any help at all? Because if not, then I would imagine the corner covering Terrence Williams will get some help. But last week, that Terrence Williams touchdown, Greg, to me, was all about the safety leaning toward Dez Bryant's side of the field and Williams in single coverage. Might we see that again tomorrow?
Well, the issue on that play, the Williams touchdown, was actually it was Bryant was aligned on the other side of the field. They doubled Witten on that play,
uh-huh.
So the safety who would have been helped on the Williams touchdown was part of the double on Witten. So you know, it depends on how you want to play, but you know, Carolina with Tillman out, they played Colin Jones in the slot, and I think you can try to create matchups there because Colin Jones he was the one beaten by DeSean Jackson last week. He's not really a good slot player in the pass game, you know. And don't forget, at times they do bring Bryant inside on his touchdown. He was in the inside slot on the three receiver side, so there are times they do that. It'll be interesting to see if indeed Carolina does travel Norman with him no matter where Bryant goes.
Yeah, and then they're typically a zone team. Is that something that we can have maybe an angle that could help, like a Cole Beasley or a Jason Witten in this matchup?
Well, Panthers, if you're going to play man, if you want to line up and play man against their three wide receiver sets, it's Colin Jones on Cole Beasley. That's not a good matchup for Carolina. So they know that. I mean, this is not a revelation to them. So I think you might see a little more zone.
Gotcha. And for Carolina, the Cowboys are going to be down a corner in Mo Claiborne,
yeah.
Which I imagine moves Byron Jones outside.
Outside, yeah.
And then Tyler
which is
Patton
interesting.
Inside, right?
Which is interesting, yes, because Jones would be a perfect matchup for Greg Olsen. You know, he's played the tight end at times throughout the year, but over the last number of weeks and the way in which they've used him, he's not been that guy because he's been the slot corner with Claiborne, and now without Claiborne, he's been playing outside. So I think the Olsen matchup is a tough one for the Cowboys.
There you go. So Cam Newton will likely look for his star tight end, Greg Olsen, and of course, how about Devin Funchess? Every week now, he's getting a little bit better coming on here. And you know, I know they're all about the run and the passing attack works off of that, but they do have some weapons here. And Cam is continuing to impress you here on tape. Not every play, but you like his command pre-snap. And you did make an interesting observation. He is one of the few quarterbacks, Greg. It's like, I you know, watching football growing up, it seemed like every quarterback did this, but you don't see these guys throwing it outside the numbers all that much these days, but Cam does.
No, he can do that, and he's good at it. And, you know, I think as I made the point in my notes, the thing about Newton is he's clearly playing at his highest level since he came into the league. They've built their offense around him, both really the run game and the pass game, and he's going to make some great throws, John, and he's going to miss some throws. Not enough where you say, oh, my God, he's no good, but, you know, he misses some throws here and there. But he's clearly playing the best that he ever has.
Any thoughts on the Cowboys lining up and trying to stop Jonathan Stewart? He seems to be moving fine, just fine. He's a big dude.
Yep.
Might that be a problematic matchup for Dallas?
I think it's problematic for every team because of the way they run the ball. You know, they run it in two ways, kind of normal base runs and then deception misdirection runs, which make it difficult for the defense. So Stewart's a strong inside runner, and he's got some vision. He's got quick feet. He's a good back.
They're a little undersized up front, Dallas, wouldn't you say, overall, the front seven?
A little bit, you know.
A little bit,
but,
yeah.
You know, to me, Carolina has become one of those teams, John. They have an identity. They you could make a case that they very much play. It's not that they run the exact same plays, but they play the same general way every week.
Yes, yes. And Jonathan Stewart's a big part of that. Then they work off of that, take some shot plays, throw it to the tight end, and Cam runs around and they win. Let's move on to Chicago at Green Bay. May have some weather in this one, Greg. I looked at the forecast recently, and it's a, you know, game time, hour by hour. It's got a 100% chance of rain throughout the game. So we'll see if that changes. Could be a little sloppy. But we have seen the Green Bay Packers struggle against man, those receivers, to get open. So what are your thoughts on that matchup here against Chicago's defense?
You know, I still think that the Packers' pass game last week was a little uneven. I mean, Rodgers made a couple of great throws. Obviously, the touchdown to Jones. He hit Jones with a throw off movement, you know, where Jones laid out. A really good throw, and I think that was a third down throw, a critical one. But I think overall, Rodgers was still fairly erratic. I mean, I think he was under 50% throwing the ball. I thought the biggest takeaway from that game was Eddie Lacy, because he actually looked the best he's looked all year, and I think that Mike McCarthy wants to continue to run the football.
No doubt, no doubt. Randall Cobb has been a killer for this defense.
Oh, I know. Over the years, he's killed him, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is that why is that? Why do you think that is?
The nickel corner. I mean, the same situation there, nickel corner, is Bryce Callahan, who's a guy who they're going to look at and feel like they should be able to attack. So I would look at Cobb as a guy who's going to be targeted in this game. Now, with Aaron Rodgers, the way he's playing right now, you know, a little bit out of control is too strong a word. That's not the right way to say it. But, you know, A little too unstructured. You can't say for sure that means Cobb is going to get the throws that he should.
It would help if Eddie Lacy is rolling, though. I'll tell you that.
No question.
So we'll see. Yeah, that's kind of a key here. That's one way to kind of settle in and stay ahead of schedule and kind of gather yourself here. Although, you know, Starks hasn't been all that bad, but, you know, Lacy's an upgrade for sure. And, you know, we've noticed over the years, Jay Cutler – a little shaky, right, against Dom Capers. What do you think is going on there? He's played well, but this Green Bay defense has given him some struggles.
Well, I think it's also a function that they haven't had a very good O-line in those recent years, these last number of years, and Dom Capers is a schemer. So there's a lot of different looks, a lot of different pressures, and I think that the O-line struggles with all that. And it could well be the case again.
And Matty Forte expected to play. He has been a Packer killer. And no Martellus Bennett in this one here. So Zach Miller will have to be the number one.
Who I really, really like, by the way. I mean, he's been around the league. He's really athletic.
Yeah.
He's really a wide receiver in a tight end's body. You can line him up anywhere.
Yeah, and he's been impactful here 3 weeks in a row. So they're making up for absences with Eddie Royal, I think, with him. Quite frankly, and I remember when he was on the Jaguars, we had our eye on him just because of that athleticism. And
yeah, he used to just get hurt all the time. That was the problem, but he's a pretty talented guy.
Yeah, yeah. We'll move on, and we'll talk about the Giants and the Redskins. I know you saw the Redskin offense, and they may not have Jordan Reed in this one, and that's obviously problematic. How did Kirk Cousins play last week overall? Tougher matchup.
You know, he's playing against a tough defense. I think you saw him make a couple of throws, and I think then you saw him struggle at times. You know, I think he played probably the way most people tend to think of him, as an inconsistent player, and that's the way he looked against a very good defense on the road. You know, he's not an off-schedule, outside-of-structure quarterback. He's a timing and rhythm quarterback. He must play within the design of the offense.
Looking at the injury report here today, Chris Culliver did not practice. Breland and D'Angelo practiced in full, so they will have those guys. Eli Manning has had a lot of success against this defense. I'm not exactly sure why. I guess it's simply a function of the Redskins really haven't had a dominant pass rush, and their secondary has been vulnerable. Let's move it over. Actually, I really don't have any other thoughts here, quite frankly, to tell you the truth. Anything from Deshaun last week?
Well, he just ran by Colin Jones for the touchdown, and that was really about it. They didn't have the ball a whole lot. They didn't run a ton of plays. Their offense could never get into a rhythm. They had five turnovers. Cousins fumbled twice in the pocket. So, I mean, it was a game where it was not a good game to be discussing their offense. For whatever it's worth, and you know this, they're a much better offense at home, and that's where this game is, and they're not playing a very good defense. So I would expect that the Redskins offense, from a fantasy standpoint, will put up far better numbers this week.
You would think, but for whatever reason, Kirk Cousins just has not played well against the Giants. Last three games, he's completing 51% of his passes with a 5.7 YPA, less than one touchdown a game and almost three picks.
So yeah, he struggled. And you know, I actually thought the Giants played a really, really strong game against the Patriots. That was their last game. I thought, given that he lacks a ton of talent, that Steve Spagnuolo did a terrific job. Just, I mean, he threw the kitchen sink at the Patriots, and the Patriots struggled a bit. Now, he could well do the same thing. I don't know how he sees this game. But the one thing that's been really tough for the Redskins is their run game has been totally a week-to-week proposition. I mean, some weeks they can't run it at all, and other weeks they run it okay. But they have not had a consistent run game at all.
Yeah, and Matt Jones fumbled again last week.
Yeah, it was a really bad fumble. It was almost like someone blew on the ball. It was a really bad fumble.
Yeah, and Alfred Morris got banged up, although he's probable. You know, we may see a little more Chris Thompson in this one.
Yeah.
Who can give them a little bit of juice here and can catch the football. So Chris Thompson on the radar in this one. The Giants likely won't have Larry Donnell, by the way. I thought he was going to return. So they're still thin. They had Hakeem Nicks, but, you know, he's still learning the offense. You know, a former Giant, but it was a different offense. But Eli Manning plays well in this matchup, and obviously Odell Beckham has destroyed them. So looking good there for Odell Beckham, and we do like Eli this week. Minnesota at Atlanta. And a disappointing game last week for the Vikings. Boy, you know, the biggest takeaway has got to be the protection issues, right? I mean, that was what I saw. I'm like, my goodness, that line.
Yeah, I mean, their O-line, I think, has struggled to some degree all year long. And I think that Teddy Bridgewater is not the kind of quarterback that can compensate for that. He's a small quarterback. He's slight. He does not have a big arm. So he needs to be protected. He made a phenomenal throw to Kyle Rudolph. That was a big-time throw, and I know you saw it. But for the most part, you know, I think that they can struggle with pass protection. I don't know if this is the team they'll struggle against, but they can struggle.
Yeah, I know you did not see the Falcon on either side of the ball just yet.
Not
yet. They have 12 sacks on the season. Minnesota gave up half of that last week.
But it was a different defense. Keep one thing in mind. This is important for the matchup, John. They just played a scheme defense. Dom Capers is a schemer, whereas Atlanta pretty much lines up and plays. You know, they're not that much of a scheme defense. They're an execution defense predominantly. Now, again, every coach has blitzes, and who knows that? Who's to say that Dan Quinn doesn't say, you know what, let's amp up our blitzes a bit this week because of the opponent. But for the most part, they're not a scheme blitz defense.
Yeah, and we'll see Peterson, of course. We'll see if Kyle Rudolph can stay hot. And the guy is – Stephon Diggs remains the guy. You know, Mike Wallace –
Yeah, he's good. He's a good player.
And you're not gonna put – Trufant's not going to be on him, I don't think, because he tends to play one side of the field. And Diggs has moved all over the formation still, I believe.
Yes.
So,
I mean, he normally stays outside, but he doesn't line up on just one side. And normally – the Dan Quinn defense does not have a corner travel. And I don't think they're going to look at Diggs as the kind of player you have to travel for, even though he's the best receiver right now on Minnesota. It's not like he's Dez Bryant or Julio Jones or that level of receiver. You know, ultimately, I think, you know, they're going to just line up where they line up.
Falcon offense is really struggling. I don't think this is a wonderful matchup for Matt Ryan, who threw three picks last week.
Yeah, and that one to Jackson was really, really bad. He's thrown some bad picks, which has really surprised me. I mean, he's not played well. You know, you would expect a veteran quarterback, as a team is not playing great overall, that a veteran quarterback could stabilize it and keep it together. Matt Ryan, who I've always liked as a quarterback, you just have to – the tape tells you he's just not played well over the last month.
Which is mind-boggling because we've seen him play pretty well with no running game. And
yep.
He's got a back in Freeman who's playing like a 25-year-old three-time All-Pro this year. And yet that has not helped. So,
but not in recent weeks because he's been out.
Who?
Freeman.
Well, Freeman was out last week. I mean, it was last week where you know, they were on a bye.
And he's still questionable this week, I believe. I know we're doing this on Wednesday, but I don't think he's been cleared.
Not at all. He didn't practice today, and I think that's a pretty big drop off there to Tevin Coleman, who's got ball security issues, you know, pass protection issues. So that's pretty serious stuff there. And you know, they're just all about Julio. For right or wrong, they don't care. They're throwing the ball to Julio 15 times a game. So
me and Julio down by the schoolyard, John.
Yeah, I mean, it's as literally as if Kyle Shanahan has Julio on his fantasy team. it's kind of like that. You like that for fantasy, but it's hard to rationally handicap any other element of the passing game because it's very Julio-centric. Yeah. All right. St. Louis at Cincinnati, and the Bengals are dealing with some injuries, but, you know, it may not matter. Case Keenum was limited today. So I guess he's got a shot here after last week's debacle. But Denard has been ruled out. Leon Hall, Denard, and Adam Jones are banged up. Hall and Jones didn't practice. But again, does this matter? And you did not see the Ram offense, but that O-line has been a little bit
banged up. I've seen
him
every week, every single week. You know, it's something that tells me they could play with Hall and Oates in the secondary and they'd be okay.
Do you think that not having Tavon Austin in the mix, I mean, I felt like Tavon Austin, the threat of him was helping out Gurley. And now last 2 weeks, we're not seeing much from Austin, and therefore Gurley is not going off.
Well, you know, when you say the threat of Austin, what they did, and they still did it 2 weeks ago, I have not seen the tape this week, so I can't answer that question for this week, but they still use Austin with jet sweep action, reverse action. That's the way they use him. Now, their pass game throughout the course of this season has been extremely limited. My guess is it was the same this week with Keenum. Their O-line has been a below-average NFL O-line through much of the season, starting two rookies getting a less-than-needed play from the second-year left tackle, Greg Robinson. So they've got issues across the board, but they're a very limited pass game. They don't do very much. It seems like the pass game simply works off the run game, and if that doesn't work, there's nothing else in the pass game.
Yeah, and Rob Havenstein with the calf didn't practice today, missed last week. Also for the Rams, Tremaine Johnson, who's a starting corner, did not practice today, nor did Robert Quinn. So
Quinn's now been having issues for what, like 3 weeks, a month now. That's been an important thing.
Yeah. Chris Long did come back, but he's no Robert Quinn. I thought Andy Dalton and the Bengals, you know, played pretty well on.
So did I.
On Sunday night. I thought they hung in pretty well and acquitted themselves fairly well.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's still, their run game is still not where it needs to be, as you know. I mean, Hill, you know, had a couple of runs where you said, oh, he looked pretty good. But when all was said and done, he only carried 13 times and I believe for less than 50 yards. Let's put it this way. And we don't need to keep going over the same ground, but they've not had the run game with Hill that we all thought they would have.
You know, and he also blamed a little bit on flow of the game, which I can see that. I mean, you almost sometimes need to be lucky when you're in a timeshare type situation, and there are many of them. But we've seen guys in these type of situations still produce. You need to be a little lucky in terms of flow of the game. Well, here we go. I mean, I know the Rams D is very good still. Aaron Donald is a man, but you know, Cincinnati should be in complete control in this one offensively. Let's move on to New Orleans at Houston, and you did not see the Texan D here, but they're playing well.
They're playing
limiting
really
offenses.
Well. They're playing really well.
Now, Mark Ingram's got a shoulder. There was an undisclosed injury from week 10, that we didn't know much about. Well, it turns out today, first day they have to report the injury, a shoulder, reportedly not no big deal. Do you think this is a problematic matchup for the Saints in terms of this surging Texan defense? Now, we do still think they're vulnerable on the back end there. How do you see this matchup? Do you think the protection issues running the ball for New Orleans?
I do. I Houston's defense has played really well. I think that it has the look of now of a disciplined defense, which earlier in the year you might not have said that. So even though the back end players, you wouldn't say they're great players, I think they're really feeling comfortable at corner with Jonathan Joseph and Kevin Johnson at corner. They've moved around a lot at safety. Andre Howell, who came out as a corner, is now playing safety, and he's done okay. I think their front group has played well. Watt has played terrifically over the last month of the season. Clowney's back, and say what you want about Clowney, but he's a big athletic body, merciless. They've got a pretty good front seven that's playing at a pretty high level.
As crazy as it sounds, they may have to throw it playing from behind because of their defense. And certainly it's Brian Hoyer, but everybody in fantasy, Greg, is all over it. Like, even me, I've got Hoyer like six spots higher than Tom Brady, which is crazy.
Yeah, and I'll be the first to admit I was wrong in terms of my total evaluation of DeAndre Hopkins. You have to clearly say he's a number one wide receiver in this league who can win one-on-one matchups. I mean, he beat Revis. He's beaten pretty much everybody that's been put on him this year. He's a number one receiver, and in an offense that's not a great offense personnel-wise, without a lot of help at the other receiving positions, including tight end, Hopkins has continued to win, and so there's no reason to believe that's going to change.
Yeah, and I undersold him last year too, because he had that bad rookie year, and he's not explosive per se, he's not big and all that, but the dude's a badass. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, when he's on the field, he makes spectacular plays, and he plays with a lot of confidence. He's unbelievable. So obviously he's going to get the ball in this matchup. I think there's enough weaponry here for Brian Hoyer to put up digits for sure with the great matchup. So there we go. We're looking forward to that one. Should be a fantasy bonanza. Tampa Bay at Indy. And
fascinating game, by the way.
Yeah, because this Tampa D is getting better and better and better. They're stopping the run really well. Hasselbeck threw a couple of picks. It's a little bit of a problematic matchup here for Indy, Greg.
Yeah, I think, like you said, the D is getting better. It's a very fast defense. They play to that speed with a lot of slanting and movement up front. With Alexander and David, they have really two fast stacked backers. And as is always the case, you pretty much see about three coverage concepts for the Bucs. You see them play cover two, cover three, and some man free, and they've become a more disciplined defense. If you just looked at their players in the secondary, you would say, wow, that's not going to cut it. But yeah, they're starting to play with really good discipline, and they don't put those guys in bad situations.
How do you think they attack if you're India? I don't necessarily see them matching up well to a speed defense. I mean, maybe go deep to T.Y. and test those safeties and corners, because, Tampa doesn't have a dominant pass rush.
Maybe, but I think with Hasselbeck, you're not going to make a living going deep. That's not the way I think you want him to play. Doesn't mean
you can't
take a shot here and there, but you're not going to make a living with Matt Hasselbeck, throwing 22-yard deep digs. So, no, I think that this is, as you look at it, as a matchup, I think it's difficult. Now, again, I never know how to deal with, home to field and all that, because obviously it's in Indianapolis. Same with Tampa's offense. They've played really well for the most part over the last 5-6 weeks. I think other than the Dallas game where Winston threw two picks, the five other games in a six-game stretch, he's not thrown an interception.
Right. And, of course, their offense is all about the run and Doug Martin. And
well, it starts there.
What'd you see out of him last week? That was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, look, he had a couple of runs that were one of his long runs was a great call on I think third and one or fourth and one. I can't remember what it was. It was 90 flip, and they were able to get outside, and he was untouched. But I thought he runs like he always runs, John. He's competitive. He battles. I wouldn't call him a highly, highly skilled runner, but he's a fighter as a runner. He runs hard.
By the way, Colt safety Mike Adams missed last week, and he didn't practice today, nor did Vonta Davis. So that's obviously a pretty big story here with Vincent Jackson back and Mike Evans in the mix there. No Austin Seferian Jenkins, though. It looks like yet another week for him. So we're still waiting to try and see Winston play a game with a full complement of weapons with a solid force down the middle with those two Twin Towers on the outside. Something tells me that they're going to come back to earth, though, in this one, playing, like you said, on the road, in the dome. Not loving this one for fantasy, quite frankly. Let's move on. Not loving this next one either. Miami at the Jets. And you did see the Miami D. And we know what the Jets do, basically. I mean, at the very least, they run. We did get Bilal Powell involved. And it's just Marshall and Decker, and basically that's it. How do you see this matchup playing out against Miami? And I think their secondary, as we mentioned, their corners are a little undersized. Brent Grimes has not had a great year. Probably a decent matchup for Marshall and Decker.
Well, we do have the benefit of a game earlier in this season. I think it was week four. I think it was a London game. And the Jets ran the ball exceptionally well. I believe it was Ivory's best game of the year yardage-wise. It may have been the game, too, in which he had the most carries. You know, I think that's the way they like to play. And there were a lot of reports this week that Todd Bowles lit into the team, which leads you to believe that they're going to go back to basics. You know, I would think they'd start off with Ivory. Now, I think that Sue is playing at a much higher level right now than he was early in the season. Not that one player is the overall difference in an offense, but in a defense, excuse me. But, you know, their linebacking core last week, which was really interesting to me, and I guarantee it's two guys not a lot of people have heard of, but when they were in their base defense, obviously they had Shepard, Kelvin Shepard as the middle linebacker. He normally plays, but they had Ewert and Vigil, two guys a lot of people would not have heard of as their outside linebackers.
Yeah, Jelani Jenkins didn't practice today. He missed last week.
So I think they're going to start the offense with Ivory, to be honest with you, this week.
Yeah, he had 29 carries in that game that you mentioned, but here's one little issue here. You know, he's averaging 2.8 yards a carry, Greg, the last 4 weeks.
I know that.
Yeah,
but I still think that they're going to believe that he's someone they need to get going in this game. Look, Fitzpatrick, a perfect example. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick's had a very good year for Ryan Fitzpatrick. But then you get to with, you know, critical situations like against Houston with 2 minutes to go. And actually, the interception he threw was a play with 100 elements that were going to break down in the matchup show. But, you know, that's then what he does. So, you know, I think they're going to need to run the ball.
Yeah. And Miami, I mean, I don't know where to go with it anymore. Jarvis Landry a little bit banged up. I got nothing here. This Jet D is somewhat vulnerable, not as good as we thought. But this offense in Miami is just kind of, there's not much going on here, Greg.
Yeah, I'm not really sure either where to go with this Miami offense right now, John, as far as fantasy. I mean, to me, it's week to week. They don't seem to have staples.
Nope.
I'm sure they're working toward that, you know, because I know a lot of the coaching staff, but it's not playing out yet in the games.
No, not at all. Very disappointing. And we did get a touchdown from Jordan Cameron, at least, but he did that early in the year, then he disappeared for another 6 weeks. Let's move on to the Chargers and the Jags. One thing I'm not sure of, do you have any feel on how the Chargers play Jason Verrett? Does he travel? Is he
sometimes
typically on that left
sometimes
side? Because I think he's a very good player, Greg.
So do I. Sometimes he travels. The last number of times I've watched that defense, I didn't get to him this week, but it's been the prior to that, it was, I think I watched him 3-4 weeks in a row, and they clearly view him as their number one corner. That's the point that needs to be made. They clearly view him as their number one corner, so at times he does travel.
Yeah, so I guess he'll be, when he does travel, you would think he'll travel to be on Allen Robinson. But he typically, I believe, lines up on that left side where Hearns typically lines up. So that's it could be a wash. I'm sure he'll see time on both guys, I would think. You know, I don't know if you've noticed this, but boy, it doesn't seem like Eric Weddle is playing nearly as well this year. I don't know if you have any thoughts there. I mean, he's got that contract.
Well, let's put it this way. I don't notice him as much on film as you normally do. So, again, I'm not studying just him on every play. You know, I can't. But he doesn't flash. He doesn't show up as much as he has in the past.
Yeah, I see him running after people, running into the end zone.
He was hurt for
a
number of weeks, too, so you don't know if he still
sure.
is bothered by an injury. But he's only been back for a couple of weeks. But, yeah, he's not played quite as well.
Blake Bortles not playing quite as well the last couple of weeks. He throws a pick every week. Maybe the chemistry with Julius Thomas is kind of increasing. I kind of feel like Julius Thomas is that missing ingredient from where we can take this to another level, what we're seeing with this passing attack. With the Jaguars. And once again, T.J. Yeldon, it's just like it's frustrating because he's getting the ball. He dominates the touches. He looks good. At the end of the day, the numbers just aren't there. But, you know, decent enough.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
there
was in the game last week, early on, he had some really nice runs. The numbers were good. And then all of a sudden, he started having a lot of 1 and 2 yard runs, and the numbers didn't end up being so good.
Now, Corey Legit may not play. He didn't practice that. Neither did the aforementioned Weddle. So those.
Well, with the Chargers, you could probably name about 20 guys this year who haven't played. I mean, that team, unfortunately, it's been a really bad year. They're 2-8 offensively. It's just they can't run at all. As we've discussed before, Melvin Gordon, who they keep trying to get some reps and try to get him acclimated, does not gain yards.
Nope, and they kept trying last week at the expense of Danny Woodhead, who killed a lot of people last week. It's like, what the hell?
Well, it was a game that got a little out of hand, and I think they were just trying to give Gordon reps, and you know, because obviously as a first-round draft, look, you're not giving up on the kid after 1 year, no matter what happens this year, so you want to get him reps and see if he can get comfortable.
He's averaging 2.8 yards a carry the last three games. The Jags are giving up 2.8 yards per carry the last three games. So I guess he'll average 2.8 yards a carry.
Well, that probably means he'll run for 200.
Yeah, exactly. He'll pop one off.
right.
At the 9.
You know, I've kind of been impressed just very quickly. I've kind of been impressed. I've gotten a chance. I remember 3-4 weeks ago, you know, you said to me, you don't get to see the Jags defense much, right? And I said, yeah. And then the last three weeks, I think I've watched them every week. And you know what? I think they're an improving defense, John. I really do. I mean, they don't have a shutdown type corner, but I think they're solid across the board. I think their front seven is actually pretty good.
Is Telvin Smith the most underrated player in the league?
He's a very good player. He's a certain kind of linebacker. I mean, he's not like a Luke Kuechly type player. You know, he's not that guy. He's a long, lanky mover, not necessarily physical, but he's got very good play recognition, good instincts, gets to the football. He's a good player. He and Posluszny never come off the field.
Is Cyprian getting better as well?
Cyprian's a certain kind of safety. He's better, you know, closer to the line of scrimmage. He fills pretty well. You know, he's been solid.
Yeah. I mean, overall, still a decent matchup here for Phil Rivers. But, oh, by the way, I know you haven't seen the tape, but, you know, Antonio Gates is really beat up. And you wonder aloud, like, you're 2-7. I mean, what's the point? You know, if Gates is, you know, going to maybe even hurt the team, of course, Ladarius Green was out last week, but now, for what it's worth, Phil Rivers, O-line's still banged up. Gates, a shell of his former self lately. I mean, the loss of Keenan Allen is huge. You know, Stevie Johnson can only do so much. He averages like 9 yards a catch here. So it's a tough go here for the Chargers. But a decent matchup overall. Oakland at Tennessee, and I know you saw the Raider offense. They're going real heavy on a lot of their O-line formations, but yet they still can't really run the ball.
You're talking about Tennessee?
No, I was talking about the Raiders.
Oh, yeah, I lost you just for a sec. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, no, they can't run the ball. And I got to tell you, Murray's not a very good back, and they're going to have to upgrade that. He can't be the guy. I mean, we've talked about that in the matchup room here because we've all kind of watched Oakland, and every time we watch Oakland, we kind of say, you know, he's a lower level NFL back. So that's he's not a starting NFL back on a good team.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, look, we were intrigued by him, and look, he was a what, sixth round pick, you know, for a reason. I mean, so
right, exactly.
I agree. We told people to trade him like a month ago, and you know, hopefully some people took advantage of that opportunity. Carr coming off a poor game. You know, Amari Cooper, though, having some issues.
He has had started the last 3 weeks, John, to have drop after drop after drop, and it's really surprising. And, again, he's just going to have to fight through that. But I almost got the feeling last game, and, I of course, you don't know what's in Derek Carr's head, but that Derek Carr was not going to throw it to Amari Cooper and was not going to, he was not looking at him.
Wow. Wow.
Now, I could be wrong. I don't want people to think, hey, that's what Derek Carr did. I don't know that. But I just sense that watching the tape.
It feels like Crabtree's been the number one for about 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And their O-line has started to become a little bit of an issue, too. Now, I'm not saying it will be against Tennessee, but it's become it's an O-line that needs to get more athletic. They know that, but this is the group they have to play with this year, and it's started to become a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, especially when Rodney Hudson's in and out of the lineup because I feel like he's kind of the glue that holds it all together. This Titan D is, I mean, they're banged up on the back end. They lost McCourty, but you know they stop the run well. They can rush the pass. They're not bad. We say it every week that they're pretty respectable.
It's not a bad D. Their issue is on offense. The D actually would be even better if their offense was better. And you know, I made a note watching, and I watch Tennessee every week, but, you know, you're dealing, quite honestly, with an offense that has a struggling O-line, no consistent run game, limited weapons on the outside. There's no speed and explosion element to this offense whatsoever. In fact, John, you know what the telltale sign is? When they had third and long situations against Jacksonville, very often they had Walker and Fasano on the field. No NFL team, you know, I shouldn't say no, but very few NFL teams in third and long have two tight ends on the field.
Well, I guess you do that when your best receiver is a tight end, and, you know, for one, you know, and Fasano is a, you know, crafty veteran.
And Green Beckham has much to learn as a route runner at this point. Right now he's just a big body who at times looks very slow and tentative running routes.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's clearly not ready for prime time. I mean, you look at the size, like, wow. But, you know, he looks lost out there. I wouldn't say lost, but he looks just a notch above lost.
Whatever that may be.
Yeah. And then this is another team, Greg, that needs an upgrade at running back. I guess it's disappointing the O-line is not creating much push.
The O-line has not been very good at all. Not very good at all. And they're trying to, you know, that's what they're trying to figure out.
Yeah, but at least they're committed to it. I mean, they were last night or last week.
They have
running.
They have no choice because they can't. Absolutely. They can't have Mariota drop back 40 times. That they can't do that. So they're going to have to play this way. That's why the loss last Thursday night was so disappointing because it was essentially a game that was played exactly the way they have to play.
Yeah, and did you notice a big drop off with no Alden Smith last week? I think am I correct that you think the Raider corners are not that bad these days.
No. And they made a major change, the Raiders, with Smith out. Mario Edwards, the rookie from Florida State, who was essentially a 3-4 D end and an inside rusher, is now an outside rusher. He's an outside linebacker in their 3-4 and an outside rusher in their sub-packages. That's the change they made to compensate for Alden Smith. And Edwards has actually done okay. He's not Alden Smith. Alden Smith is a top 3 or 4 guy. Edwards is not that guy, but he was a little better than I thought he'd be on the outside.
Let's move on to Buffalo at Kansas City. And I'm, you know, LeSean McCoy has been terrific. And
yes, he has.
You know, he's been.
Their pass game is terrible.
Horrible, Greg. I mean, I can see this watching television. It's brutal. They cannot get anything manufactured or working with Charles Clay. Sammy Watkins is always drawing a top corner. Tyrod Taylor doesn't throw a very accurate ball down the field, I don't think.
No, I think the feeling from most is that Tyrod Taylor is a backup quarterback and that this year has essentially proved it. Now, you know, that's you know, the tape probably shows that. I've talked to people who believe that. But he's there again, he's their guy right now. They don't have a choice. So that's what they'll do. But, you know, looking at Kansas City, it's a totally non-glamorous team, but Alex Smith, I don't think, has thrown an interception since week two or three. You can say what you want about the fact that he doesn't push it down the field, but he does not turn the ball over. And, you know, their defense has very quietly over the last month in this four-game winning streak, and you know, you see the numbers, has been really, really good.
I mean, they're giving up nothing to tight ends. You know, Antonio Gates had like one ball for like 4 yards. You know, wide receivers on the outside been okay, but generally speaking, it's a real scary matchup with a team that can get to the quarterback. Give me a name from this D who's maybe flying under the radar.
Well, there's a player who I like, and again, because the names are Houston, Khalid, Derek Johnson. Those are the names everybody knows. I think their other stacked inside linebacker, Josh Mauga. I thought last year on film he was a player, and I think this year on film, and he's been hurt a little bit, I believe, this year. I don't think he's played. I think he had a stretch where he missed some games, and I don't know exactly what his status is right now. But he's a guy, when he plays, I always feel plays well.
I feel like their linebackers are excellent. So
do I.
As a group there. So there you go. So, you know, forget it is what I say for the Bill passing game. It's just LeSean McCoy, and I don't think you can use the kid Carlos Williams at this point either. He had that – you see that play on – I think they went for it on fourth down, and he tried to hit it outside. I was like, no, boy, that was bad. And then now you've got Alex Smith. Now we've got Spencer Ware. I'm sure you've been studying film on Spencer Ware all week, but maybe not.
Well, this is the season of backup LSU running backs, Alfred Blue, Spencer Ware. If you're a backup running back at LSU, you're going to start in the NFL now.
And apparently Adam Kaplan can be plugged into this offense and run the football effectively. That's what's kind of amazing about it, because we didn't think this Chief O-line was dominant, but for whatever reason, they just plug a guy in there and he produces yards.
Well, I think they're committed to running the ball. You know, they're not a team that throws it 40 times a game. You know, I think it's one of those things. Now, Ware had a big run last week, which inflated his, you know, it made it great for fantasy, but it's not as if he was banging out 5-6 yards every carry.
Right. And, you know, Smith is continually, well, he's still frustrating us. I'm a little concerned about Macklin, though. Macklin earlier in the year was on fire, and it feels like now they've kind of settled into just let's play defense, let's just run the ball, and forget about trying to be aggressive with the passing game.
I think that's the way they're playing, to be honest with you. And I think given probably their overall talent, okay, and that's what you're really talking about. You've got to play to your team. I mean, obviously, for fantasy, you would like them to play to fantasy. But, I mean, you know, Alex Smith, and by the way, he's not thrown an interception since week the third game of the season, okay, when they lost to Green Bay. So he doesn't throw a lot of touchdowns. I mean, he's only thrown in that stretch. He's only thrown, I believe, 6 touchdowns. But, you know, they play very, you know, in this four-game winning streak, he's had 2 games in which he's thrown it 26 times and 25 times.
And this is not a beautiful matchup. I mean, we're not going to get Kyle Williams for the Bills, but, you know, the secondary is still pretty good. I mean, the Bills are still a pretty good defense, don't you think, when you watch them?
Absolutely. And, in fact, they were phenomenal last week. I mean, it's a whole different animal. But they were, I think, a lesser quarterback than Tom Brady wilts under the Bills' defensive game plan. Rex Ryan, I thought, was brilliant last week. It's just their offense can't score. But, the Bills are a very good defense.
They did Rex Ryan defensively. They did everything that they possibly could have done to win the game. I mean, that's the bottom line.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I mean, they had it. They really, truly had it, but they did not take. You know, it was like after the third missed opportunity in the first half, I was like, oh, well, they're not going to win because you can't let 3 opportunities pass you up here playing Tom Brady and the Patriots. So, but certainly worth noting that not a great matchup if Spencer Ware has to go. and right. not a good matchup at all for the Chiefs. Arizona at San Fran. How about that Blaine Gabbert?
You know, I got upgrade. People can say what they want, and who knows? He may be terrible this week because he may have to put up 30 points, and I don't believe he's quite capable of doing that. But I think if you're just looking at the evidence at hand, and that's all we can do right now, correct, is look at the evidence at hand.
Well,
and I thought overall, against a good defense, that Gabbert played with relative poise and composure. He played with some pocket command. He's got functional mobility. He made some anticipation throws. Now, he missed a few throws that you have to make. There's no excuse for those. He missed some of those. But overall, I think you can make the argument that it was his best game as a pro.
Yeah, and didn't kill Anquan Boldin last week. And Anquan Boldin, you know, it's a kind of a quarterback's best friend.
No, there was a rhythm to the pass game, John, and actually receivers were involved in the offense. And those are low standards, of course, but this is the NFL. So, he could be in, of course, we all thought he'd be in for a really tough game last week, and I thought he hung in there exceptionally well.
Yeah, and I would imagine we'll see Peterson on Torrey Smith on the outside. So tight ends and Boldin again. And I'm not going to.
Well, they matched Richard Sherman on Torrey Smith last week, by the way.
Did they?
They did.
Yeah. Ruben Sean Drones. I almost said Ruben Drones. Remember that? Remember that name?
I do.
Ruben Drones. Sean Drone played 91% of the snaps, handled 100% of the running back touches. So he's got that going for him.
Their O-line, though, the 49er O-line was overmatched in the run game. They couldn't run the ball, and their O-line was just overmatched by Seattle. Now, the Cardinals are a different defense, but they have a really good group up front, and I would expect that to be somewhat similar this week.
And do you think the Niner D is ripe for the picking here with Palmer just in the zone?
The Niner D has been a really challenging D for me because I watch them every week, because there are some weeks I think they play well, and last week obviously was not one of them. And they've also had other weeks like that where they've not played well. If you just look at this matchup on paper, you struggle to believe that they're going to stop Arizona. I don't know. Arizona's just play. For those who believe in the mental part, Arizona's just had two really impressive wins, emotional, physical, tough games, Seattle and Cincinnati. And for those who believe in that they're ready for a letdown, this is the game for that, for those who believe it.
They haven't beaten the Niners, though, in San Fran in quite some time. So that, I think they're using that as their motivation.
Right.
It's been a while, actually. I saw Bruce Arians.
I would bet that
this
is a week our friend Bruce Arians is really on them, because he knows this is not a game after you've just won two really impressive games that have people talking about the Cards in the Super Bowl. This is the kind of game you cannot lose.
By the way, should we keep an eye on Vance McDonald? Feels like a tight end friendly offense.
Well, I think because of Gabbert, at least the ball gets thrown to the receivers that are on the field. And I don't think they have great confidence in their three wide receiver personnel, so they play with a lot of two tight ends. And McDonald is the second tight end. McDonald and Celek are getting targets since Vernon Davis is gone.
Yeah. So Gabbert throws it to receivers on the field. Kaepernick was throwing it to inactive receivers sitting on the bench in sweatpants. Is that what was going on?
You know, that's
actually fairly accurate, Greg.
Or inaccurate.
All right, let's move on. Pittsburgh, two more here. Oh, no, three more. Well, actually, 2.5, because we've got two games plus the Ravens and Browns. Pittsburgh and Seattle. Now, again, when people ask me, is Russell Wilson back? I would follow that up with, is Thomas Rawls for real? Because if he is, which certainly appears to be, I got to feel like Wilson played well because they ran the ball well. Is that overly simplistic?
Well, I think they consciously took an approach where they wanted the ball out of Wilson's hands quickly, and it worked this week. He was able to hit his back foot and have the ball come out. I think the NFL is ultimately about structure. their coaching staff knows that too. You know, when everything was going well and Wilson was making random plays because all the other elements of the team were playing at the highest level possible, they lived with it and they got to two Super Bowls. When the other areas of the team are not quite playing that well, you can't base your winning and losing on random, unstructured plays. So they really put together a nice offensive approach last week. I give the coaching staff a ton of credit. The ball came out of Wilson's hands in a hurry last week.
Any thoughts on this matchup? I don't know how much you've studied the Steeler D. They've been pretty good.
Their Steeler D is pretty good, but I have studied the Steeler D, and I think they're way better than people would have thought, and they played that way through much of the year. Keith Butler, the new D coordinator, has still done a really good job with pressure concepts, adding in some ideas of his own, which new coaches do, and I think that they could pose some problems. I really do.
Is that about bringing the heat, bringing the pressure on Wilson?
They're really good at that, and Seattle has struggled with that throughout this year.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. All the more reason to feed the ball to Thomas Rawls here. When you popped in the tape of Thomas Rawls, I mean, did he look like, oh, this guy must have been a first-round pick?
Well, he's a downhill velocity runner, John. I mean, he initiates contact. He's really decisive. He's got an instinctive north-south mentality. He's relentless. That's the kind of runner he is. He's fun to watch.
Pete Carroll had a good quote. I'm paraphrasing, but I think he said he makes someone miss in order to hit someone.
Yeah, I mean, he's a collision runner. He initiates contact.
Yeah. But he was also, I guess, making the point that he's a little bit more than that, too. He's got
Yeah, he is. I mean, I wouldn't say he's really elusive, but he's not stiff, you know, the way you think of guys who can't cut at all.
Yeah. I do think, for the listeners into the fantasy, I do think this could be a Jimmy Graham game, simply because, A, they run it well with Rawls, and, B, the Steelers have been vulnerable to the tight end all year. So the matchup for Pittsburgh. Obviously, they've got the weaponry here coming off the bye. What jumps out at you when you look at this offense?
Yeah, I mean, I still think the Seahawk defense, John, is still struggling a little bit. Look, they gave up a lot more passing yards to Blaine Gabbert than I think a lot of people thought they would. And there were some really good concepts that San Francisco used against Seattle to defeat their foundational cover three. I don't think your match. By the way, Kerry Williams got benched in this game in the third quarter. So I don't know if that means he's benched or if he comes back and plays this week as a starter. You know, I don't think Richard Sherman is a great matchup. Is he on Antonio Brown? I don't think that's the matchup you really want. I think they're not going to match up in this game. I think they're going to play zone.
Yeah, they have to. You know, Antonio Brown would kill Sherman. I feel like he would.
Let's put it this way. I don't want to say who would win it, but I just don't think it's a good matchup for sure. I don't think this is the kind of receiver that he can stay with. But
what about
maybe
Sherman
we'll be wrong.
What about Sherman on the outside against Martavis Bryant?
That's clearly a matchup that you feel really good about with Richard Sherman. You know, he can do that. He's long. He can run. You know, Bryant's explosive, but I think Sherman can handle that.
That'll be a fascinating one, though. I'd love to see.
Yeah.
I'd pay to see
this
that one.
This is an intriguing game. It's a really intriguing game.
And speaking of intrigue, New England at Denver. And, you know, we try and get in Bill Belichick's head. Here's my thought, for what it's worth, which could be $0.00. But if I'm the Patriots in this game, given their O-line problems and given the matchup, the receiver injuries, I think I'm just leaning on Blunt, man. I'm telling LeGarrette Blunt, we're running you 30 times. Keep it close. I mean, is that crazy?
And that might be true. They won't gain a lot of yards. You know, they're going to have to throw it at some point. I don't know what to say about the Patriots offense going into this game because of the total loss of weapons. I mean, who's going to play on the outside in this game? LaFell, right? Is it Chris Harper?
You know, the name that I thought of in terms of if anyone's going to replace Danny Amendola, I would think Keyshawn Martin.
Yeah, but I read he's not a definite for playing.
Well, he's been inactive, so yeah, I thought I didn't know.
Oh, it's not due to injury? I thought he had an injury.
I don't know. He's got a hamstring, so he was limited today. So maybe
because I thought I read earlier today that he's not a definite to play.
Yeah, no, neither is well, Aaron Dobson's also out, so it's unbelievable,
Greg.
It's amazing. So, you know, I've got Tom Brady as my 14th ranked quarterback this week. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you can understand that, right? Based on this matchup and their issues.
You don't need my approval, John. I mean, you map it out the way you see it. I mean, they do not have a really good receiver core lining up this week. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's where I'm going with it. I think they're going to tell LeGarrette Blount, because, by the way, their defense is playing really well. We'll get to your thoughts on Osweiler in a moment, but, look, their defense playing really well. It's Brock Osweiler. LeGarrette Blount, get ready. You're running it 33 times Sunday night. That would be my thought. And it's just a temporary one-week kind of a approach, and they probably hope Amendola can return next week. Now, your thoughts on Osweiler. It looked like you were fairly impressed, but certainly not perfect. Then again, it was his first start.
Yeah, and I think what you saw was I think you saw Gary Kubiak running the offense he wants to run. I mean, and I think he controlled him. He managed him with the play calling. It was a game to build on. I mean, he was under center probably 80-85% of the snaps, not in the gun. They were in 12 personnel with two tight ends on 50% of the snaps. So it was the offense that Gary Kubiak wants to run. You saw the run game. They were very balanced. You saw play action. You saw play action boot. Everything that you associate with Gary Kubiak. The run game was outside zone for the most part. That's what they do.
A little surprising now in retrospect that more wasn't made of Kubiak coming into Denver with Peyton Manning being a poor fit, because it was pretty eye-opening in terms of look at the running attack. I mean, I was obsessed with that last week. We talked about it on the podcast. Osweiler helping out the running game. Well, all of a sudden, Greg, both backs averaged 4.9 yards a carry, and they ran for .172.
Yeah, and it's one game, and we'll have to wait and see. But I think regarding Osweiler, I think he'll have to do more, and he'll be asked to do more as the games get tougher and the stakes get higher. You know, this was a really good first start, something, as I said, to build on. But they scored 17, not a lot. So he'll have to do more. Now, he may not have to do it this week because of the Patriots offense, but under normal circumstances, if it was the real Patriots offense, I don't think they would win with 17 points.
And then they did 12 personnel, and they threw the tight ends out of that formation a lot too, because
tight ends had 11 of his 20 completions, you know, which is another sign of the Kubiak offense working the way he wants it to work. And by the way, Vernon Davis looked like a different player from when he was with the 49ers.
Yeah, we need to give him a little bit more love, I think, in our waiver wire report if he's still available. I thought it was going to take some time, but you're right. He was very, the thing that gives you a pause a little bit in my world is because, well, Owen Daniels was still involved as well, but that's worth noting.
Not from a numbers standpoint. I'm saying
no problem.
He looked comfortable. He looked much quicker and more explosive than he did in San Francisco. He looked almost like the Vernon Davis from a number of years ago.
You know, and Butler does travel with the number one these days, don't you think?
At times. He does. Like 2 weeks ago, he played Beckham, and actually played Beckham really well. I mean, he gave up the 87-yard touchdown. Other than that, he played Beckham really, really well. He was not quite as good this week playing against Sammy Watkins. Despite, you know, when I'm watching this stuff, it's not the numbers for me, John, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
He was not quite as good playing against Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, Watkins, you know, claims that he's open. He I'm sure he beat him several times.
He did. They just don't have a pass game.
right. So, and Emmanuel Sanders did actually get out there today in practice. So, look, that's another point. Osweiler didn't have Sanders last week.
No, and he seems to have a pretty good relationship with Latimer.
Yeah. I kind of talked about that last week because I don't know, maybe not on the podcast. Maybe I didn't get the thought until Friday, but I did talk about it. I think I wrote about it on my Sunday morning column. So, all right, Greg, one more here, and I guess we can go pretty quickly here. And, you know, it's no more John football for the Cleveland Browns. The Raven D, McCown lit them up earlier in the year, so I would expect more success, although they're not giving up the bigger numbers these days. But, I mean, this is good news for fantasy, Greg, if you've got Gary Barnidge, Travis Benjamin, and especially Duke Johnson, it's probably good news that McCown's in there.
Yes, I would agree. You know, I think that obviously we knew why Manziel was going to play, but McCown has actually had a very good season, given that he's not on a very good team, and has for the most part played pretty well. So I would expect him to put up numbers.
So any thoughts on Buck Allen as the guy? He's going to have to be.
I wavered on him quite a bit watching him at Southern Cal. I mean, I watched a lot of games. There were times I thought he could be a feature back, and there were other times I thought he was just a complimentary back. I think up to this point in the NFL, I kind of feel the same way. But he's going to get carries. I mean, they're not going to toss it all over the yard. They're obviously playing a team that has not stopped the run particularly well, so they're going to run the ball. So he's going to get carries this week.
And they got this kid, Raheem Mostert.
He was with the Eagles.
He was with the Eagles
throughout preseason. He was a either a high hurdler or a sprinter in college, I believe, at Purdue. He had moments during the preseason with the Eagles where he looked pretty good, actually. And he's an interesting player. He's got some juice to him.
Can't wait to break down Matt Schaub next week. I'm looking forward to it.
I'll let you do that.
Oh, yeah. Matt Schaub throwing it to Kamar Aiken and Crockett Gilmore, although, you know, Crockett Gilmore is pretty active here, so he's got some value.
Yeah, he is.
Actually.
They've actually got an interesting tight end group. They've got three pretty interesting tight ends.
Yeah, Nick Boyle out of Delaware is not bad either.
No, pretty good player. He's a prospect, too. Pretty good prospect.
Yeah, and Max Williams is actually starting to come on a little bit. So
yep.
There you go. Greg, that's it. So now we're off tomorrow. We've got the Week 12 matchup podcast in the books. We appreciate your time, and we wish you the happiest of Thanksgiving, sir. For Greg Cosell, I'm John Hansen. Happy Thanksgiving to you out there listening to the podcast. Good luck in week 12. We'll talk to you next week.